get some money.
From New Money, New Problems, it's the New Money, New Problems podcast, a show for successful professionals searching for the tools they need to navigate financial opportunities and obstacles they've never seen. Negotiating compensation, purchasing your first investment property, helping your family with money, the highs and lows of entrepreneurship. New money brings new problems that require new solutions. Join us as we work through them together. I'm Brenton Harrison, and this is the New Money, New Problems podcast.
Hello, my name is Brenton Harrison of New Money, New Problems, and your host for the New Money, New Problems podcast. In this episode, we're telling a really unique money story of a couple that I have admired from afar through my sister for a while now. In this episode, we have Dr. Dom and Dr. Jen. They are a really interesting couple that both built platforms apart from each other, fell in love, and then are now building a platform together. And we are so appreciative of them being on this podcast. So Dr. Dom, Dr. Jen, thank you for being on the New Money, New Problems podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Brenton.
Oh, I'm very grateful that you're here. And as you are here, I want to get started with actually separating you. I know that you're sitting next to each other on the couch, but I want to get an idea of how, before you became a couple, you kind of built a life up to the point where you met. So if you could, either one of you can start, dealer's choice.
I'll go first because my story's much less interesting than Jen's probably. I never ever was involved in the online or social media space prior to meeting Jen. So any sort of platform, in air quotes, I built was more so done on the ground in person. I grew up in Minnesota, had an interest in health, had an interest in the body, and ended up going into physical therapy. I've always had an entrepreneurial mindset. I always wanted to go into creating, starting my own business, finding a different way to deliver this thing that is healthcare and wellness to people. Because as I started getting into the healthcare system myself, I started realizing a lot of what I think are the flaws and a lot of how I don't feel like we serve people or treat people as people and treat people in a way that helps them achieve their life goals and really pursue for and strive for wellness. So I started trying to build my own models of how to deliver physical therapy and or just wellness services directly to the consumer through businesses, kind of on a corporate level. So it would probably be seen more as corporate wellness or corporate healthcare. And at that point, that's kind of when I ran into and met Jen. So really my entrepreneurial self had just started to take hold. And when I moved out to California to be with her, you know, the environment in California versus Minnesota is much more open to health and wellness, proactive services, people who are willing to pay cash for those services. So I started building out my own private clientele in California. And about 9 months in, once I had gotten my business established and I was feeling great, that's when the COVID pandemic hit and my in-person business suddenly was no more. And I guess I'll pass it over to Jen because that's the point where we kind of started working together more full time.
What's funny about my journey is that I never intended to be an entrepreneur. I did not have the entrepreneurial mindset. I just kind of happened to stumble into it where I was, you know, on social media only for friends and family. So when I first created my Instagram, it was Jen_ES_care because that's how you phonetically said my name, and all these underscores and things are just not how you build an Instagram. And it was in PT school when I was going through physical therapy school that I started following people who were doing more calisthenic type workouts and things outside that I loved being a gymnast previously. So I started getting in contact with them and tagging them, and they invited me down to the beach to work out with them and to eventually start to compete in calisthenics. And so it was while I was in physical therapy school that all of a sudden people started coming to me and to my page and following me. And I started the social media thing by accident because other calisthenic pages that were much bigger and larger started posting and promoting other people within the community. And so that's when I just started to show my exercises and what I was doing. And it became a fun hobby. I got into acro yoga. It was just this fun hobby alongside physical therapy school that I thought was for fun. And that was it. Once I graduated physical therapy school, you know, I wanted people to know that I knew more about the body than just what I could do with my own body. So I changed my handle to Doc Jen Fit, and I started easing into education a little bit. I was so scared because there were physical therapists that I admired that I was following. There was chiropractors that I admired that I was following, and we were starting to build relationships with. And I thought, who is this new PT grad who's coming out and going to be posting stuff as if I know what I'm talking about? I felt very imposter syndrome as a new grad. But I started posting and it started taking off way more than any of my calisthenic or acro yoga stuff. And so I realized there was this need within helping people beyond just cool workouts or what they could do, but how they could get to a baseline of like really helping with pain and mobility. And that started to take off. And so a year and a half into PT school, I really started to just, there was opportunities that were coming my way. And I started to say, you know, I could always come back and be a physical therapist in an office, because now I have a career. Like, I got a doctor of physical therapy degree. I have a career that I can come back to if I need to. But I don't have this opportunity to always like jump and take on new things if I can. So on the side of being in the clinic, I actually was in a private CrossFit, and I started to see clients on my own. And then I just started to see clients like at their home or other places. And I started to say, you know, I think I could do this on my own and do cash pay PT and not have to be in clinic. So I quit my job and I set up shop at a gym, and I just started to take on my own clients, and that was going amazing. But then as Instagram was growing, I just decided, who's actually seeing my posts? Are they getting help that they need? What if I created a program where I could put it all in one place of what I know people are asking for and what I know people want? And so that's when, having no idea what I was doing, launched into an online business, asked a bunch of people that I knew who were doing online business and marketing, and just put it out there. And I, you know, made crazy money in the first launch. That was just like, like more money I made at a physical than a year at a physical therapy clinic, you know? So it was crazy to be able to help people in such a different capacity and to be able to provide for myself in a new way. And so I just started to really lean into that. I started to slow down on my in-person business, really lean more into online business. And then eventually, once Dom came in, we created a whole new app and platform from scratch and really started to see, okay, how can we take what we're doing and make it so unique and different than anything that we've seen out there, and continue to build. And he's really been the driver that stepped in and blown up anything that I thought was possible in expanding it in ways that I didn't know was possible. So again, having that entrepreneurial drive, I would say, and more of like the business organizational person all of a sudden step in and organize my thoughts and my direction a little bit more really helped to drive what we're doing now today.
You know, that's interesting. And I'll go back to kind of what you both intended at the very beginning, because to me, at least in terms of people I come across, there are intentional entrepreneurs and there are people who kind of stumble into it. So Dom, you said that like from the beginning, you knew that you wanted to work for yourself. And I tell the story, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like I never thought of working for someone else for a long period of time. And the reason that I wanted to be an entrepreneur had nothing to do with anything besides the fact that when I was a kid, both of my parents were entrepreneurs and they made it to all my stuff. What was it about the way that you grew up, what you saw that made you want to be an entrepreneur before you maybe even had ventured into the health space?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because really neither of my parents were entrepreneurs. I mean, my dad is a family practice doctor and delivers babies, and I knew that I didn't want to do that. And it's a funny point you make, because I never saw my dad as someone who was absent because of work. Thinking back, he definitely made it to fewer things than my mom did, but for how busy he was there. Also, to that point, I'm getting a little sidetracked, but we have our little son now, our first boy, a second one on the way. And I can't, I thank my lucky stars every day that I get to be home. You know, we can leave this podcast and go hang out with our boy. And I can't imagine us not being able to just be there with him as much as we want, whenever we want. We can just wake up and be like, you know what, cancel the day. We're going to go spend time with our son today. And so you bring up an amazing point there. I think the thing that drove my desire to go into kind of an entrepreneurial path was the holes that I saw. And so I don't know if it wasn't until I got into the healthcare space, I started seeing some mentors out there of mine that were starting to fill these holes, that were starting to do healthcare and do physical therapy in a more proactive way. And in a way that I felt and I thought helped people significantly more, ended up reducing their healthcare costs when it came out down to it, even outside of insurance. Like, yeah, the things that we do may not be covered by insurance, but I think it actually costs you less when it comes down to it because of the benefit you're going to see down the road from being more proactive about your health. So I just knew that there was such opportunity there for myself and for the people, the members, the clients that I would end up serving down the road. And I think that was my real driving factor, was that I don't feel like we fully serve people in a proactive manner in the healthcare space.
Mm-hmm. So Jen, from your perspective, you are on the other side of the equation where you had intentions of like working at a clinic, and people are responding to what you're doing in a way where they almost like forced you into entrepreneurship. So, or I should say, you were so successful that you're almost like, well, I guess this is what I do now. I don't know if that would be the correct way of describing it. But what is that feeling like, where that's a very daunting thing? You know, my sister and I talk about this all the time, because I would also categorize her as like stumbling into entrepreneurship. When you're right there and you almost get like, for successful reasons, pushed into it, what was that feeling like?
Really scary at first. I mean, growing up, I characterized myself as a very shy, introverted person. Like, people would think I was the mean girl in the corner because I didn't ever, like, I didn't talk to people unless they talked to me. And that was my own, you know, fear and barrier of like stepping in and getting to know people. I was just very shy and to myself. And so all of a sudden, having people come to me on Instagram, I had a lot of my insecurities start popping up, where it was, you know, am I good enough to be doing this? And are people going to be looking at what I look like and how I am? And just all of these things just started to take place within my mind. And that's why it was easy almost to say, oh, here's what I'm doing in calisthenics and acro yoga, look at what my body's doing, rather than looking at who I am or talking at in any capacity. And so it took, you know, when I was about to launch into my first course, I actually was going through a personal development program. And I was super resistant to this personal development program because I thought I grew up happy. I grew up with a great family. Like, I don't need this. There's other people with a lot more trauma than I've ever had. But you don't realize where your insecurities are really coming from, and what, you know, just little things can add up into who you are and how you present yourself. And so it really helped me to step out of me, out of my box, out of my insecurities, and just show up fully in what I was passionate about and what I really believed in. So it was just this different experience of like, what can I bring people that I know can be beneficial, that I know can help, and that I know can be different? And really leaning into what I know to be true and what I know can help people. And it was just, you know, incredible to start to see those changes within myself, and then ultimately see the changes from other people.
I don't think there's many things that are more rewarding than being able to like monetize a passion. But the key word in that is monetize. And, you know, this is a money podcast. So I have to ask, as you all are growing up, as you all are discovering those passions, do you recall the first time that you realized that either money existed, or how powerful having it was or not having it was?
Yeah, also a great question, because being people that both went to grad school, you don't really understand what money means or what the numbers on the loan documents that you sign means until you start needing to pay it back and until you start needing to pay your own rent and instead pay your insurance and all these kind of things. I think the money story really hit me probably when I moved out to California. Was the first time that I started to feel squeezed on the tight side of the money end, because I was living in Minnesota. I was doing traveling physical therapy, which you usually make a bit more doing that, because I didn't have an intention of doing it for long. I was signing these 3-month contracts, working, making good money. My rent in Minnesota was like $400 for the room that I was staying in. And then all of a sudden I choose to move out to California. I didn't even have a PT license in California at the time. I was like, you know, I'll move out there. We'll figure it out. We traveled for a couple weeks, basically depleted most of my bank account by the time I stepped foot in California, still with no job, still with no, you know, real plan to get that job. I guess I had some sort of plan, maybe selling that a little bit short, but not to mention I had this woman that I loved, that I was pursuing, that I wanted to show I was capable and able to do all this stuff. And that's when things started to feel real tight for me. I mean, I had to have my mom float me a loan to buy her engagement ring a year later. So it's like, that's the space I was in. And right after I bought that ring, COVID hit and I lost all of my work, you know? So yeah, that's when the power of money hit me on the wrong side of the lens, before we started working together and working ourselves into a space. Jen's always been more on the side of, hey, she had the business and was making good money. But in our early relationship, that's when I was really struggling.
Yeah. Things that I can remember is like, we get home from like Target or something with my mom, and she'd be like, I'm going to leave the bags in here. Don't bring them in. Don't tell dad. Don't tell dad I went shopping. And so it was kind of like this, like, oh, you know, be careful how much you spend, or be just very cautious of it. I mean, my dad, having never gone to college or taking a couple years of junior college, and that was it. And my mom did have her master's, so she did. But she was a teacher, you know, you cap out at a certain point as a teacher. But we always had like 2 vacations. We had a lake vacation, so they bought a boat. So I knew that we were like well enough without being over the top. And so I knew that we were in the middle class. Like I knew that, but always like from my mom's perspective, I felt like money was talked about in a very scarcity mindset way. And that's what I would kind of hear. And for my dad, I never really heard any of that. It was just, especially like when we came up to our wedding and everything, you know, it was like, how much is this? Okay, just give me the bill. Give me the bill. Like he was always wanting to provide. When we went on family vacations, he didn't want to take money from any, like even when we grew up and we now have spouses, he didn't want to take money from anyone. Like he was very much a provider type in that way, where he never talked about the money. He never talked about how much it was. He just wanted to provide experiences. So I kind of got both sides of the coin, but I also got when I was quitting my clinic, I got a lot of fear from both of them as well, of like, because they weren't entrepreneurs. So how are you going to protect yourself, and how are you going to have insurance, and what are you going to do for a living? And so, you know, I think there was a lot of fear behind it. And I just had to lean in and say, but this is possible. I'm seeing other people doing it, and I'm getting examples of other people, and I have mentors and everyone now. And so it's possible. And just continue to prove what's possible has been what keeps me going and drives me forward.
And I would even just follow up by saying how much my answer to your question shows the privilege that I grew up in. Because my answer didn't have anything to do with my childhood. Because, and looking back, and I think even at the time, I realized like how fortunate we were. We had resources. My dad, you know, went to school to become a doctor, and you know, we had the resources for them to put us in whatever activity we want, put us in, you know, that drama camp or this, you know, football camp, or take the vacation. And even when I said, yeah, I had to have my mom float me alone, like how many people in the world can say, yeah, I just had to go to my mom to like help me buy my engagement ring for my future wife. Like, and that, yeah, played a lot into my early money story, was never seeming to or needing to have the concern about where the money was going to come from.
There's definitely a privilege in that, but there also is an element that says, on this podcast, we talk about a book called Mind Over Money. And in that book, they do research where they find that the majority of the way that we feel about money is formed before we're teenagers. So there's a flip side to the coin that says, if your parents didn't have to talk to you about money, that means that whatever feelings you have about it, you connected those dots on your own, right? So it's like you talk about being able to move to California and stuff like that. And it's like, you really have this blank slate where you're trying to figure out for the first time, how do I feel about money? How do I act around money? So I think that everybody, good or bad, brings something to it where it's like, oh, I got to work through this in some particular way. You know, when you're married or in a partnership, you know, that becomes even more difficult to do so. It's hard enough to figure out like what TV show to watch together, much less like how you're going to manage your finances. So I do want to ask about that before we go to the break. I know you all met at a conference, right? Describe the scene. Like, was it like somebody was in like a great lighting under a stage somewhere and you saw like, how did you meet? Mutual friends, tell the story.
So I came into this, it was like a small physical therapy conference. And I was invited to speak on a panel. And so I'm coming from a week-long conference that was on online marketing. And like I was networking like crazy. So I was going, every night was like a different party. Every day was like different conferences. It was like a full week of a lot. And then I came into this, you know, flying in a little late on a Friday to this conference. I was speaking in the morning on Saturday, and my intention was like, this is a, such a small conference, probably just old PTs. I'm just going to speak and then leave. Like it was nothing like I anticipated. And I got in later on Friday where they were already doing it was happy hour.
Yeah, we were out at a happy hour. And again, like she said, it's smaller. This is where I was building my community. So I knew just about everyone there. And it was the PT conference meant for entrepreneurs to kind of like suss out ideas in the physical therapy space on how to move our profession forward and how to do things differently. And I see this woman roll in that I didn't know with her bags to the happy hour. And I'm like, oh, who's that? Looks about our age. Like, great. Another young buck to add in to all of the, you know, upcoming PTs. And then later on, this was when I really took notice. Talk about the lighting being just right. We were getting ready for dinner, and kind of all of my friends who were the young PTs were huddled around talking with Jen at the time. And they must have been talking with her about some of the fun things she does online, because I saw a couple of them trying to do a pistol squat, which, if people don't know what that is, you know, it's like a single leg squat. And then I see Jen lift one of her legs up in the air and grab her toes and do this perfect pistol squat down to the ground and back up. And it was like this primal mating call from across the room. Like, talk about something that is going to get a physical therapist and someone who's interested in movement, interested in you, is doing something like that while you're waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, he sat at a different table than we did at the restaurant. So I kind of noticed him. I was like, oh, that guy's cute, but whatever, I'm tired. Just came back from a long week. And I had the intention that I was just going to go back to the hotel and go sleep. But as soon as I walked out, I knew like two of the girls. And as soon as we walked out of...
We're in Austin, Texas, by the way.
Yes. So as soon as we walked out of the restaurant, there's music on the street and we're on the main street where all the bars and dancing are. And I was like, well, what if we just dance for like a little bit?
Yeah, talk about the continuation of the mating call. If someone can dance well, and I can tell that they have rhythm and know how to move to the music and move their body, that is very attractive to me, because I grew up dancing. My parents, aunts, and uncles all danced and taught me how to dance. And so I'm like, I'm going to dance with her by the end of the night.
Yeah. And so that's how we met. And then I ended up, we talked all night long, I mean till like 2 a.m. and I had to speak at 8 a.m. the next day, and I ended up extending my flight because the girls were really fun and I wanted to like spend another night with them.
Out with the girls.
And we ended up, you know, connecting more the next night. And then from there, it was just...
Yeah, I came out to LA 3 weeks later to visit for the first time and moved out to LA 3 months later.
And the rest continues after the break.
This is the New Money, New Problems podcast, a show for successful professionals searching for the tools they need to navigate financial opportunities and obstacles they've never seen. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what new money problems you might be overlooking in your financial life? If so, we've got great news. We've crafted the New Money, New Problems Gap Finder to identify potential weaknesses in your finances in areas ranging from budgeting, investments, insurance, and even the threat your extended family's finances could pose to your household. Please head to newmoneynewproblems.com/gapfinder to complete it today. Again, that's newmoneynewproblems.com/gapfinder to take the assessment.
You're listening to the New Money, New Problems podcast. Subscribe now at newmoneynewproblems.com. Welcome back.
All right, welcome back from the break. Before the break, we heard the origin of the love story of Dr. Dom and Dr. Chen. Now I want to come up to the pandemic. Dom, you were talking about how that led to a shift in how you structured your career. So if the two of you could tell me, when was the moment or what led up to the moment where you first said, why don't we try to do some things together?
Well, during that pandemic time, you know, when all his in-person clients just kind of all of a sudden stop, that's when he realized, you know, he looked at some of my stuff and is like, you have like 300 or you say like 800 emails.
Yeah, I say a higher number every time I tell the story. But
it was like 300 emails unread.
There's 300 in one inbox. There was 300 more in another inbox. And I'm an inbox zero guy. If there's an unread email, it means it's actionable and there's something I need to do with that email. So seeing that many unread emails gave me anxiety. And I just told her, like, I'm sitting around. I'm just going to comb through all these, get rid of the ones that are nothing, follow up on the ones that could be something. And there was a lot there.
Yeah. So he saw a lot of opportunities within, you know, starting to go through things. And of course, I'm hesitant because this is now my boyfriend. And
are we
stepping into starting to work together? And what does that look like? What does that mean? And is that, you know, I've heard horror stories and, you know, so I was just really hesitant. I mean,
that's why I proposed.
But starting to like allow him in and like it was just like little bits by little bits. And then all of a sudden, I remember when he pulled this whole like deck together of just organizing like the complete back end of the business. And we had like a team meeting where he went through everything. We had a very small team at the time. And it was just like, wow, this is something I would never do. Like, I do need someone who can be organized and take on business aspect on the back end or get back to, you know, actionable things that I just don't have the capacity to do. And so it started to just make sense. And we started to just kind of step in and all of a sudden he's COO and now all of a sudden we're building more and we started a podcast together and again I love like our podcast when we do it just him and I talking about a physical therapy pain point or anything he can explain like the physiology within deeper than the body in a more analytical, scientific kind of way where I'm more practical. Like I like to talk about the exercises and like the stuff like that. So I feel like we were, again, a great combination of how that kind of works together and how that molds. And there was a lot of stuff that I was hesitant to take, like, oh, now taking on a podcast, now taking on like more stuff. Like I don't know, but he always promised this is like, we're doing it together. I'm going to help. And, you know, and it's just, again, helped everything to expand so much more.
Has there ever been a moment where, because you are still romantic partners, right? So like, I think it's impossible to keep everything at home, you know, especially when home is the office. Has there ever been a moment where it's like, one of you might have been pushing the other to try something, and either there's just a lot more hesitance about this particular thing, or you actually went through and tried it and it didn't work out? And if there has been, like, how did that resolve itself?
I mean, I'd say those situations come up, not in a bad way, but they come up, I don't want to say fairly often, but often enough that we have differing views or opinions on something, or I want to try something that Jen's hesitant to try. How do they resolve? I mean, well, she's the boss, so she can just tell me to, nope, not doing that. And we've developed a really good kind of separation of, like, you got to take the emotions out of it when you're talking about the business side of things.
And what we did early on too, what I really loved, and sometimes, the last couple months we haven't been good about it, and sometimes it ebbs and flows, but what we started to implement pretty early on were monthly goals. And so every month, at the start of the month, we'd sit down and we'd say, here are our three couple connection goals. Like, what are we going to try to strive for that brings us more into connection outside of work, outside of anything else? Just you and I, like, how do we come back into that connection, and what are the actionables that we're going to do every week? And then we go through three personal goals for ourselves of, like, what do I want to focus on for me? What does he want to focus on for him? And then we go through three personal professional goals that we want to focus on within the business. So, like, to actually be able to see it. And even if I'm not doing it all the time, I'm reminded, oh yeah, that's what my goal is. That's what I want to get back to. That's what I want to be committed to this month. And we'd also have, like, a word of the month that would kind of inspire, like, what is it that we want to feel this month?
And connection, growth, integrity, something like that, that we try to embody over the month.
And it really, really helped the separation of business and home, of where those, you know, separations kind of lie, since, like you said, we are working at home together all the time.
Yeah, we do Wednesday night date night. So, you know, we had one last night, and it's like, at some point in the meal, we just got to say, all right, no more talk about anything business related. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we got our few bits in, but this is date night. This is us. Yeah, let's leave it. Let's leave it there.
As you move towards that balance, that perfect, like, hey, we have a good, we can take the day off and, you know, go play with our son, which, if that's the plan for the rest of the day, we're going to make sure we finish this up as quickly as possible. As you move towards that right balance, what would you say, either collectively or if you want to separate them into those silos, what's next for the Fraboni household?
For me especially, I take it like month to month of where we're really focusing, what we're really diving into. And almost every week too, every Sunday, we try to sit down and, like, what's our focus of the week? Where are we going? Making sure we have, like, our set schedule with our nanny and my mom who helps, and this is what they're doing. This is when we're really getting our work chunk in. If we need more work outside of that, how are we splitting it up, time between us two? And so we really are, like, it's a day-to-day thing. Sometimes it's a week-to-week thing. And then for me, it's really like focusing on, like, the big picture of the month, of what we're really trying to create that month. And so we can focus on, like, those daily tasks, those weekly tasks, like, what do we need to get done right now? And how is our week kind of structured? And luckily we have a bit more structure. When we're in Minnesota, it's hard. We're in Minnesota for about a month, a year, sometimes a little bit more. And it's a little harder because we don't have concrete help. So it's really like, how are we splitting up days and what are we working on? But when we're home in California, we really try to be very diligent. We luckily have that help 4 days a week. And so we use it to our advantage as much as possible.
And in my mind, the thing that's most immediately next, like, we're in the family building stage. Jen's due to have our second baby boy in a few months. So, you know, we're in that family building stage. And where Jen really focuses on the day-to-day, week-to-week, sometimes, you know, in my mind, especially being on the financial end, I kind of like to have that 6 month, 1 year, 5 year mindset a lot of times, and what are we doing to help set ourselves up, and what am I doing to help set our kids up? And so I'm in the phase a lot of the times of, how am I setting up their college savings? How am I setting up some sort of investment account, custodial investment account, so that they can have some money when they're 18, or getting a Roth IRA started for them by making them a model for our business. And I mean, really next step business side is scale. You know, how do we continue to scale things up to continue to claim more of our time back? You know, I don't want our business to get to a place where we continue to need to invest more time the more years that we're into it. As our kids grow, I want us to be able to continue to have more hours to show up to everything.
Yeah, I've talked on the podcast in the past about the way that I choose to live my life, and I agree with you. There are some things where it's like I'm not willing to take on any task where improving that task requires increasing amounts of time. Like, I'm okay giving it at the beginning, but like, it needs to be when the return comes, I have the ability to step back more and more. But as we finish up, and I'm so appreciative of you all's time, because this has been phenomenal. There's a question that we ask of everyone. There's two sides of this question. The first part of it is, you know, we've talked about kind of the money lessons that you brought with you from childhood. And there's something that you brought with you where it's like, you know, that this doesn't serve you well, right? This is a part of your personality when it comes to how you manage finances, where it's like, if this isn't managed, we're in trouble. What is that for each of you?
I mean, for me, because I hate numbers and I hate looking at things, I'm not very aware all the time of like how much I'm spending, because I love to buy clothes for my son or like just hop on Amazon and grab what I need. And so for me, I get to be a little bit more aware of like where that money is coming from and how much we have and how much I'm allotting to different aspects within our life. Like that's my main goal.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. I'll dovetail off her answer. So she's the one who, when I bring up budgeting or financial discussions, business or personal related, I see her shut off.
There's a glaze that comes
I'm
over.
I'm like, no, I need you to focus for 5 minutes. That's all I need. And I'd say for me, that's a great question. But the first thing that comes to my mind is, I would almost say, is the lack of concern about money. And I don't think that that's been serving me super well. I don't want to throw my dad under the bus. You know, he worked very hard to get where he's at and have the money and resources that he's at, but he also loves to spend. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are some of those same tendencies that live inside me that says, we can buy it and we'll figure it out. We can, you know, spend that money and whatever, like it'll work itself out, where having a little bit of extra care in how I think through those decisions could serve us significantly more down the road if we put those resources to something different.
Well, that's okay, because we get the negative part out of the way first, because the second side, the flip side of the coin is, there's something about the way that you think about money, generate money, interact with money that serves you well, right? Like, this is something that I would love to do more of. What do you think that is for each of you?
Oh boy. I mean, for me, it's just continuing to focus on like the passion of what we're doing, what we're providing. And I, like, people have said, well, you tried it and you know, you can always move on. And I said, no, like, that's not my option. My option is like, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm helping people, and we're going to make it work. And so for me, there's no option to fail. And that does come with money. Like, it's expensive to be creating your own app and platform. It's expensive to keep it up. And if I continue to keep down the mindset, there's no option to fail. There's only option to succeed. Like, that's what it's going to be. And that's what I keep in my mind of like, this is the passion. This is what we're doing. This is how we're helping. And I know that it's going to be successful.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great one. And for me, I'd say the thing that has served me really well is my mindset about always investing in the future. And I'd say both on the business and on the personal side, in the immediate, it has, yes, probably taken resources away from free cash that we have to do things that we want with. But being able to know that our kids are coming into the world and I'm investing in them from day one. I'm investing in their future education. I'm investing in their retirement from the time that they're 0 years old. Always being able to put different money away, but into our retirements, into, you know, other investments that, again, we don't see that money right now, but 10, 15, 20 years down the road, future me is going to be very grateful for some of those decisions that I've made.
Absolutely. Well, we are, of course, going to link to all of your socials, the podcast, YouTube channels in the show notes. But before we close up, are there any specific things that you all want to make sure that we highlight for people to be aware of?
I was just say, if you're in pain, check out Gen Health, because we've got lots of free things that you can search. You could search low back and you'll see so many low back videos come up for free. So, I mean, you don't, that's my passion, right? You don't have to live in pain. You don't have to rely on passive treatments because that provides passive results. So we have all the active treatments that result in long-term relief. And that's what we're committed to doing. And that's how we help people. And we have full programs and plans that take people through daily, small daily things, 10 minutes a day, that has resulted in really incredible success. So I'm excited to continue to see it grow. And if people need to check that out, just gen.health.
From New Money, New Problems, this was the New Money, New Problems podcast, a show for successful professionals searching for the tools they need to navigate financial opportunities and obstacles they've never seen.